from Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief. Hi, it's Chloe. August 31st. 10 in health, the one that made me reread the abstract is at the top. Let's get into it. First, from Healthcare Dive, the first 14 days. How specialty programs set patients up for success. The article highlights the importance of the first 14 days after a prescription for specialty medications is written, emphasizing that this period is crucial for patient success. Many patients face challenges during this time, with adherence rates often dropping significantly due to communication gaps and support issues. Engagement from specialty pharmacies, like Walgreens, is essential from day one. They initiate contact with patients to provide guidance and build trust. As prescriptions move through the approval process, proactive communication helps keep patients informed and reduces delays caused by prior authorizations, which many physicians report as a common hurdle. Affordability is another critical factor. When costs are high, abandonment rates can soar. Specialty pharmacies play a vital role in connecting patients with financial assistance programs to ease these burdens. Coordination among patients, providers, and pharmacies is key to streamlining the process and reducing confusion. Overall, effective support during these early days can significantly improve patient outcomes and adherence to therapy, making the coordination of care just as important as the medications themselves. Next, second from STAT, STAT Plus, Cotter of Radiopharmaceuticals Experts pushes the bounds in cancer therapy. Louise Emmett, a prominent figure in the field of radiopharmaceuticals, is urging developers to take more risks with these innovative cancer treatments. She believes that these advanced forms of radiation have the potential to effectively target and destroy cancer cells, ultimately extending patient lifespans. However, there's a sense that the pharmaceutical industry is hesitant to fully embrace their potential, particularly when it comes to increasing dosing frequency. Over the past 5 years, as the field has expanded, some companies have run into challenges. Certain experimental therapies have shown unintended effects on vital organs like the kidneys, liver, and bone marrow. These safety concerns have led to significant setbacks, including the shutdown of at least one company and ongoing issues for others in the industry. Emmett and her colleagues are advocating for a bolder approach, emphasizing the need to balance safety with the promising benefits of these treatments. Up next, third from STAT, STAT Plus. After a rough stretch, mRNA gets a boost, at least for now. mRNA technology, which gave us the COVID-19 vaccines from Moderna and BioNTech, is getting a bit of a boost thanks to recent clinical success in using personalized mRNA vaccines for melanoma. Both Moderna and Merck have shown promising results, and this has sparked some optimism about the future of mRNA in cancer treatment. Experts like Ryan Sullivan from Mass General Brigham are hopeful that if people see mRNA vaccines being used against cancer, it might help soften some of the skepticism surrounding vaccines in general. The beauty of mRNA technology lies in its ability to instruct cells to create specific proteins by simply rewriting the genetic code. This flexibility was crucial in developing the COVID vaccine so quickly, aided by initiatives like Operation Warp Speed. While there's still some wariness about vaccines, the potential for mRNA to tackle cancer could shift perceptions, even if just a little. It's an exciting time for the field, but it's clear that the journey ahead will require careful navigation of public sentiment. And then, fourth from STAT, opinion. The most shocking thing about the latest statistics on CTA in football is that we find them so shocking. A new study from Boston researchers has found that nearly 25% of NFL players in their sample had chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE, at the time of their death. CTE is a degenerative brain disease linked to repeated head injuries, including both concussions and smaller hits. While this statistic might seem alarming, the authors suggest it could be on the lower end, with estimates of prevalence potentially reaching as high as 98%. Despite the researchers cautioning that these findings may not apply to all football players, the media has framed this study as a significant revelation for the sport. The NFL Players Association has called for urgent action in response to these findings, emphasizing the need for change within the football community. Next, fifth from Dan Harris, the signs of habit change, why GLP-1s are disrupting it, and how to use it to have better conversations, Charles Duhigg. In a recent discussion, Charles Duhigg, known for his insights on habits, dives into the impact of GLP-1 medications on behavior change. He highlights a concept called the habit window, suggesting that these drugs might help some individuals shift their habits more effectively than others. This variation in response is intriguing and points to the complexity of habit formation. Duhigg explains the Q-routine reward framework that underpins all habits, emphasizing the golden rule of habit change. He shares his personal experience with GLP-1, noting a significant weight loss of 45 pounds, which led him to recognize the concept of food noise, the distractions that can derail healthy eating. He also introduces keystone habits, which are pivotal changes that can trigger a cascade of positive behaviors in our lives. Identifying these can be a game changer. Duhigg touches on communication strategies like kitchen sinking, where arguments escalate unnecessarily, and the importance of meta conversations, asking what your partner truly needs before jumping in with advice or solutions. It's a thoughtful approach to improving our interactions and fostering deeper connections. Up next, sixth from Peter at TMD, #406 migraine, cluster headache, and tension headache, symptoms, causes, prevention, and treatment, Brian Grosberg, MD. This piece is a clinician authored review that pulls together guideline recommendations and observational data rather than a single trial, so it reflects the broader consensus on headache care. Migraine typically presents with throbbing pain, nausea, and light sensitivity, often lasting 4-72 hours. Triggers include hormonal shifts, certain foods, stress, and sleep changes. Preventive options range from lifestyle tweaks, regular sleep, hydration, stress management, to prescription meds like beta blockers or CGRP antibodies, which have modest benefit in trials. Cluster headaches are short, excruciating attacks around one eye, often at the same time each day. Oxygen inhalation and sumatriptan are the most evidence-backed abortive treatments. Preventive therapy usually involves verapamil. Tension, hype headaches feel like a tight band across the head, last from minutes to days, and are linked to muscle tension, posture, and stress. Treatment focuses on NSAID, physical therapy, and relaxation techniques. Evidence for preventive meds is limited. Across all three, keeping a detailed headache diary helps clinicians tailor therapy and spot patterns you can modify yourself. And then, 7th, from This Is What You Eat, Rosh Hashanah Menu 5787. I'm thrilled you're planning a Rosh Hashanah feast. The core of the menu is a sesame, crusted challah served with apple butter, a bright green salad with a simple vinaigrette, and a roasted salmon brushed with herbs and lemon. Dot on the veggie side, there's tahini roasted cauliflower tossed with golden raisins and pine nuts. People keep telling me it's the standout dish. Plus green beans sautéed with cherry tomatoes. For sweets, the highlight is Elsimi's apple frangipane tart, paired with fresh mint tea. A seasonal fruit platter and a bowl of market-picked apples finish the table. The decor ideas are all about subtle honey motifs, honeybee napkin rings, little honey dippers at each place setting, and apple-shaped taper candles. A simple linen tablecloth or a more affordable printed one keeps the look clean, and the mushroom-shaped candlesticks add a fun touch without feeling kitschy. If you want a local boost, consider a farm box from the Santa Monica Market, fresh produce eggs, and a focaccia loaf that can double as a side for the salmon. It's a small extra that makes the whole spread feel extra thoughtful. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. If this saved you time, the full feed is free at storyflow.com.